Hello and welcome to this edition of Ask the Coach for 17th of April 2020. I'm Kirsten Todd, your coach here at Hooked on Running. If you have been out your front door at all since lockdown, you will have noticed an awful lot more people out and about walking. I've certainly noticed quite a few more walks on the Strava feeds of you guys. I did kind of tongue-in-cheek say to someone the other day that all of the walking they're doing would hold them in very good stead if they wanted to do a marathon later in the year or next year. So I thought I'd just explain why walking can be a really good part of marathon training. Just to clarify though, if you're already training for a marathon, or you might not be training for one right now, but you're a seasoned marathoner, I don't mean you should switch all your training to walking. You will have already built a good training base over the years. But if you've not been running consistently, you know, over a few years and doing long runs and things, walking can definitely help in the base phase of your training, which could be several months, and we could be in lockdown for several months, so you could be on a winner there. A few things about marathon running, and this can also include half marathons, especially if you're around about a 2 hour half marathoner, because when you think about it, if you are a 2 hour half marathoner, you're on the road almost as long as elite marathoners. And there are a few things that make a good marathon. Mainly you're looking at getting as much time on your legs as you can without getting injured. So walking is fantastic for that. And some of the other things that you need to work on if you're training for a marathon are sparing glycogen, that is teaching your body how to use fat for fuel, building some strength in your legs, building more and bigger mitochondria in your muscles, and increasing capillarization so that you can utilize the oxygen that you take in, and also mentally preparing yourself for all that time you're going to be running on the day. Most people spend between 3 and 5 hours, maybe 6 hours running a marathon, and that's a long time to be out there. So having a look at how walking helps all of this, I'm firstly going to look at glycogen sparing because that's a really big one. Our bodies store only a limited amount of the carbohydrates we take in that get stored in the form of glycogen. And all movement relies to some extent on glycogen as a source of the energy required for movement. So the more you can spare glycogen, the better off you're going to be. Your body actually preferentially uses glycogen at higher levels of effort. So that can mean running faster, or if you're at a lower fitness level, you're going to be using more glycogen just to run because it's about sort of your effort level. On the other hand, we've got much bigger store of energy in the form of fat. But converting that fat to usable energy is a much slower process. When you run slowly or you're walking, your body relies more on fats for energy, which preserves your limited stores of glycogen. And then as you increase your effort and you get faster, the proportion of energy that comes from fat decreases and the proportion of energy that comes from glycogen increases. The point at which that crosses over, where you cross over to primarily using glycogen for fuel, is called your aerobic threshold. So what you're wanting to do is train under that aerobic threshold much of the time, especially if you're training for half marathons, marathons. If you're training under that aerobic threshold, your body is using primarily fat for fuel and sparing glycogen. And the more you train at that lower effort, the more you're teaching your body to use fat for fuel. So you're using fat for fuel, you do it more, your body gets better at it. And if you're going to run a marathon, you want to be pretty good at using fat for fuel, because there's no doubt about it, you are very likely to run low on glycogen during a marathon. Your aerobic threshold corresponds to a level of effort that can be maintained for a few hours. And if you're not a reasonably seasoned runner, you're likely not to be able to run for a couple of hours at that same level of effort, but you are likely to be able to do it walking just with a little bit of training. So if you want to teach your body to burn more fats for fuel, you've got to train under those conditions which mobilize fat for energy, which is low levels of effort. So starting off with long walks can help to reinforce this. And then after several months, you can start to increase the pace, add some running into your walk. So for example, you might add 5 minutes in after 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 90 minutes on a 2 hour walk. or you can, you know, walk faster, including more hills in your walk. Very common thing with recreational runners is to run too fast every time you run, which is why often we'll be banging on about running slowly. A lot of running is done at an easy medium pace rather than at a true easy pace, so you don't get the benefit of preferentially using that fat for fuel, and you're putting yourself at greater risk of injury. If you're running, you consciously have to slow yourself down on a run where your aim is to get your body to use fat for fuel, but if you're walking, that's a perfect solution because you won't be going too fast. So it's one thing to have plenty of fat for your body to use for energy, and we've all got more than enough to keep us going for at least a marathon. Even if you're down to about 5% body fat, you're still going to have enough fat to keep you going. But you've got to access that fat. The enzymes that metabolize fat are found in mitochondria, which are in your muscles. The more mitochondria you have, the more fat can be metabolized. Sort of the more mitochondria and the bigger the mitochondria you have. And then the more energy can be used for movement. So you need to boost those mighty mitochondria if you want to get better at burning fat for fuel. And high volume training is what increases the size and number of your mitochondria. The longer your exercise bout, the greater the mitochondrial gain. So again, that's where walking comes in. If you're not used to running for long periods of time, you can walk for long periods of time. A longer walk can build stronger and bigger mitochondria while it's not increasing greatly your risk of injury. So a two-hour walk is likely going to be more beneficial from the point of view of building the size and number of your mitochondria than, say, two 45-minute runs. And those 45-minute runs might have another use. But walking it's going to reduce your risk of injury as well. So a two-hour run might be better than a two-hour walk for building mitochondria, but it's also increasing your risk of injury. And you can't do it as often. So you might be able to do a two-hour run, say, every weekend, but you've got to obviously build some recovery weeks into that. But you might be able to do a two-hour walk every second day. And during that base phase of marathon training, it's about getting more time on your legs. It's the daily consistency of training over months that's going to boost your fat metabolism, build up those mitochondria. So building up your walking time during this time of hibernation, if that's just kind of a natural byproduct of the methods you're employing to stop yourself from going too stir crazy, great, you might be in for an amazing aerobic base, and then you'll be in a really good position to launch a great marathon or half marathon later on in the year if those races come to fruition in October or sometime next year.